The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Chalene Show.
Okay, true confession. Most of the topics on the Chalene Show are, well, I mean, they're kind of self-serving pursuits for me to improve myself. Truth be told, I say I'm doing it for you, but I'm really doing it like for us. I'm in this with you. You guys leave me messages and you'll say, Chalene, I'm a lifer, but I want you to know I'm your lifer. Like, we're in this together at the same time. So I've been studying something for more than 25 years, and it's not fitness, it's not design, it's not business, it's not social media, it's not exercise, it's not nutrition. Nope. It's successful people. I'm fascinated by the details that separate an average person from those people who seem like they just have this ridiculously amazing life. Now, most successful people seem to share a series of morning rituals, most all of which I can say I've been able to adopt. Not overnight, it's taken some time, but most all of these habits I've made a part of my own morning ritual. Nearly all of them. I can honestly say that I think of myself as being pretty successful by my own definition. Yes, of course, that includes, you know, my financial security, but that's kind of like last on my list now. I consider myself successful because I'm living my life by my design. And I'm not even joking. Like, I do what I want to do with who I want to do because I love them, because I love what I'm doing. And it's an awesome feeling. I have today total control over my day. My decisions, I spend my day as I choose, and I'm able to help people, and I'm able to say yes just to the things that feel right and that are in alignment with my own priorities. And I attribute a great deal of that success to just adopting the habits of extremely successful people. So these are some of the things that I've learned to do. They are habits. They are part of who I am. I start my day every day by planning my day. I make my bed in the morning. I begin with a moment of gratitude. I pray. I exercise before the rest of the world wakes up, and I'm not a morning person. I've learned to create a fortress around my focus. I prioritize just 2 to 3 things per day that move me forward towards my push goal, and I meditate. Well, okay, actually, truth be told, that's the one I struggle with. It kills me. That's the one. I just can't do it. I'm like not a mind-body girl. Slowing down is really difficult for me. And people who meditate well, gosh, I feel bad saying this, but I always feel like they're kind of weird. Like, don't weird people meditate? I pray. Isn't that good enough? Like, I run. Isn't that the same thing as meditation? I plan my day. Like, dude, do I really need to meditate? But it just keeps coming up. Dang it. Every time I talk to someone who's successful about their morning routine, they say, and I meditate. Well, you meditate too, Chalene, right? And I'm like, yeah, kind of. So it's time for me to bite the bullet. Because if you're trying to make the perfect cake and you're leaving out one very key ingredient, the same ingredient that successful baker after successful baker seems to include in their recipe, well, then you should probably consider adding it to your own recipe. And to be honest, I just haven't truly given it my serious effort. So I told Kristen, who's our podcast manager for The Chalene Show, and she also happens to be my personal life manager / personal assistant, I told her, I need to find someone who I can learn to meditate from. Because I've bought the books, I've listened to the audios, I've listened to podcasts, I've read blogs and posts, and I've talked to friends who do it. But I really needed somebody who could teach me how to do this. And she found him. His name is Andy Kelly. He's a reformed white-collar stress case. Perfect. He's a guy's guy. With a love for all things sports, all things Boston, he was raised a Catholic, and he's not a yogi. He doesn't wear Birkenstocks. He doesn't teach yoga. And the scent of patchouli oil doesn't enter the room 5 minutes before he does. He's a dad. He's a normal guy. He's a dude. And he wanted to learn to do this for his family. And since that time, he's become an expert. He teaches people like me, like you, those of us who have a serious resistance against meditation. Okay. Open mind, open heart. Here we go. Okay, Andy, you have got your hands full today. I will say this, though. I'm really excited to learn this because I'm convinced. I've read the science. I study people who are successful. I know this is like that one thing where I'm like, dang it. I've got to master this. And so I'm really excited to have you on the show because I just think you're going to be my dude. You're going to help me get this.
Well, I can't tell you how grateful I am for you to have me on the program. I'm excited because I know after this short amount of time, you will be healed.
Really? Okay. Okay. So let me just start because I know I'm speaking on behalf of my lifers, people who listen to the Chalene Show. They've heard me talk about the importance of meditation. They've also heard me talk about the importance of daydreaming and the importance of regenerating that energy to your brain. And what I love about the stuff I've read from you and your practice and your beliefs is how important it is for us to kind of manage our energy. So that we don't lose anyone right now who's like, I'm not listening to this show. I don't want to meditate. I think that's probably a good portion of people, but everybody wants to be able to have more energy. So can you tell us how meditation actually gives you more energy?
Sure. I think it's a great way to think about it is sometimes like when you have your iPhone, I'll often use the iPhone. You wake up in the morning, it's fully charged. It's ready to go, whatever your mobile device is, it's ready to go. And then, you know, you get to about 3 p.m. and you've been on it all day and it's pretty much on empty. And the next call you're about to make, you're going to drop. I believe that we have, a reserve of energy that we can tap into and strengthen during the day. And so meditation for me is plugging in my phone in the middle of the day to give me more energy. So yeah, I'm taking time away from what it is that I'm doing, but I'm actually going to gain time on the other end because I'm strengthening my attention to not be so distracted when I'm done. Does that make sense?
It does. The analogy that popped into my head is, I don't know if you've ever driven a battery operated like golf cart or anything.
Sure.
And, it's when the battery starts to die and you still are moving, but you're moving so slow that it barely has purpose. And that if you actually just pulled over and plugged it in and recharged it, you could get there so much faster. But sometimes we don't like to slow down in order to speed up.
Right. And a lot of people don't get that. And so what we try to do is help them find ways to renew their own personal energy, because I think meditation gives that back to us. You know, you're able to shift back to your own self and recharge your own batteries. I sometimes say just drop it into neutral for 20 minutes and then don't think about anything else. It's not necessarily about, coming out of it, like out of a trance or waking up and loving everyone. It's more you get the highest productivity in the shortest amount of time.
Well, let me preface this to those listening to share with them a little bit about you and your story. But I want to begin by saying what really had me excited about doing this call is I'm like, oh, cool. He looks like a normal dude. Like you're wearing a Boston Celtics t-shirt and, you just look like your normal average guy where I think most people, when they think of meditation, they think of someone who talks like this and someone who hangs out with Deepak Chopra and wears all white, but like you're just a dude. So how did you get into this?
Well, I think it really in a word overworked, and two words, I would say stress. So, it's nobody wakes up and says, I want to be a meditation teacher, let alone meditate.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just finding that I was working in television production. So I was working 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hour days. And at the time I had had, a wife and a baby boy at home that wanted and needed my attention. And what I found was I'd be so exhausted. I'd come home, get in front of the TV, watch the ball game, have a beer and go to bed. and only to wake up at 2 a.m. going, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? I could have prepared for tomorrow better. Or I could have made the kids lunches or whatever, right? So I just wanted to find some sanity, to be normal, to be like a nice person. And I felt like I was shortchanging the people that were most important in my life, which in my case was my family. So I looked at the other areas, you know, the pillars in your life, you know, you try to work yourself, you know, your family, your career, and what it is you're passionate about. And I never felt like I was really making a great contribution in producing what we were producing in news. You know what I mean? I just thought that I can do it. I love what I'm doing. I love the people that I'm meeting. But some days, you could dread going into the office, and you never want to be doing anything or accept anything that you dread. So when I started to meditate, I realized that I was getting personally an enormous amount of joy out of that work in myself, fixing myself, you know.
You talked about being stressed and overwhelmed, which I'm sure almost everyone listening can relate to. Was your first thought, oh, I know what I should do. I should meditate. I mean, I think most people think I should have a glass of wine, or I should take more time off, or maybe I should pick up exercise. Who was it, or what was it about meditation that was interesting to you?
So I always go back to my spiritual guru, if you have to have one, right? And mine is my wife and my kids. My wife gave me a book by Deepak Chopra, and me being the Irish, the very Catholic, the sports guy in Boston, thought, who is Deepak Chopra? And maybe is he related to Tupac? And did Tupac write a book on meditation? And I'm not reading this book. So I thought that I could give it to someone and that they would think, oh my God, he's so spiritually enlightened. He's giving me this book. Mm-hmm. But because it was from my wife, I did read it, and I connected with a small snippet on meditation. And really the fact was, I had already tried, you know, obviously I said I could come home and have a few beers and fall asleep. I could wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and take Tylenol PM or whatever else to help me go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. But then I wasn't making the best choices. I like to run, so I wouldn't wake up, or I'd feel too groggy and I say, I'll run later, which never happens, right?
Right.
So I saw like a cascade of bad choices being made throughout the day. Enough to the point where I was so stressed, believe it or not, and I wasn't sleeping. And if I'm not sleeping, I'm not making good choices.
Right.
And I'm irritable and just not fun to be around. So it was enough to say, you know what? Even though I don't want to go, I decided that my wife and I would go. The Chopra Center had a little outfit in New York City, so we decided to go for the weekend and go out and learn to meditate. And I have to tell you this because it's an important part of the story, because I didn't really get as much out of it as I thought I would, right? So you go to New York and you're spending the weekend there, you're learning how to meditate, and you think, this is going to be awesome.
And the two of you went together?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, who was more excited to be there?
Of course she was. It was her idea.
Okay, got it. Now, you said you didn't get a lot out of it. Did she?
Yes.
Okay. But did you feel like there was something wrong with you?
No. And this is the problem I have with a lot of people, a lot of meditation or yoga classes, is you go in there and you learn how to meditate.
Okay.
And first of all, I'm a guy. So I walk in, it's all women. There's, you know, nurse practitioners and physicians and psychotherapists and me, you know, they're all they're drinking jasmine tea. I'm drinking a big thing of Dunkin' Donuts. Right.
Got it.
So I'm sitting there and
you got your hat on backwards. I gotcha.
Right. And we're all meditating, and we decide it's time to start talking about experiences. And all it really did was make me more aware that I had a ton of thoughts and that I told a lot of stories in my head. And sometimes I wished I didn't know that I was probably better off just, you know, driving the car with my pedal to the metal with the emergency brake up. I would still get places, even though I'd do a lot of wear and tear on my body. But when they started to talk about their experiences, you would hear things like, oh, I just let go of all my thoughts. And now I think, one, I didn't do it right. Mm-hmm. Then they'd say things like, I just felt like I saw, you know, wrapped in this blanket of bliss, or all these ponies and rainbows and all this stuff, which I'm sure did happen. And I might be exaggerating slightly, but none of that happened to me. And in fact, even retelling the story right now, I can feel a little bit constricted in what my expectations were. And so because, you know, we spent the weekend, we spent some money to go do this, I said, I'll do it for 30 days. I'll give it the college try. And I'd really sit for 20 minutes in the morning. I'd wake up in the morning early, which I wasn't an early morning person. I would do this. I would wake up early. I'd meditate for 20 minutes and just go about my day. Then I would, take a break sometime in the afternoon when I'd start to feel myself tired around 3:30, 4 in the afternoon, go sit in my car or go into my office, shut the blinds, shut the door, and meditate for 20 minutes and then just go about my day. And about a week in, my wife, not even me, started to notice that I wasn't getting up in the middle of the night. Mm. And so that was a huge turning point for me. And even though I didn't even want to admit it then, because it was only a week in. And here I am saying, if I can get 6 hours of solid sleep a night, then I can handle any stress thrown at me during the day. So that was the number one reason I kept with it for the 30 days. I don't know if I would have lasted if I wasn't sleeping soundly. And so that for me was a big reason. And then after a month of it, I started to notice that all of these little things in my life were changing. Like I was becoming more mentally flexible with people that come into your office, and you know what they want and you're already judging them and you know why they need a day off. And I was able to step back a little bit and put a little space between what was really going on in my mind and the story I was telling me and what was really going on in that moment, which was totally different.
Wow. Okay. Now I've never done this before and I don't know if you have, Andy, but I think it's really useful because it's where my brain wants to go. Mm-hmm. I want to hit you with like 10 rapid fire objections to why I think most people reject meditation. And if you will, I want you to give me the, like almost a yes, no. And then I'll let you pick the one that you think is most important for us to go into first. Okay.
Let's do this.
Are you down with that?
I am.
Okay, cool. Do I have to be religious to meditate?
No.
Does it violate my religion if I'm, Catholic or Christian? Is there something I should be aware of that I shouldn't be meditating?
No, it enhances it.
Okay. Do I have to close my eyes and be sitting like on a white pillow with incense in the background?
Absolutely not.
Do I have to close my eyes?
Nope.
Is it about emptying my mind?
No, not at all.
Okay. And do I have to do this at a certain time of day?
No, no.
Is there more than one style of meditation?
Yes, a gazillion.
This is fun. Okay, and from what I've heard, you've just got to practice it to get good at it. Is that true?
Yes.
And how soon can the, obviously, some people are going to probably find it transformational, but on average, in your practice, as someone who teaches this to the masses, to executives, to children in school, all ages, all ranges, in your experience, how often does the average person, how long does it take for them to experience the benefits of meditation?
I would say 30 days if you're doing it, and I use the word religiously loosely here, okay. twice a day.
Wow. Okay, so see, like to me, I just have to tell you that's discouraging. So I'm not even going to feel any benefits unless I'm doing this twice a day for 30 days?
No, I'm just saying that's what happened from my experience. And
what I
find from most people too, particularly teenage boys and men, mm-hmm. I think women, believe it or not, are at a different set point. They tend to get it a lot quicker. Hmm. And I would say some people report it right away, immediately, the benefits, and some people see it a week in. So everyone's different. So I just go with what I know. And I know that the science that backs up what I'm saying is that in just as little as a month of doing something repetitive twice a day, that you get, once you get good at it and you practice over time, you're developing those neural networks in the brain that actually strengthen your attention, your memory, and your empathy. And who doesn't want more of those three things?
Exactly. Now, just as I would explain to anyone who's thinking about starting an exercise program and to say to them, just get yourself moving a couple times a week, maybe 30 minutes each time, that might provide for you some real results. But in order to transform your body, you've got to do more than that. But at a minimum, would people be able to expect some type of benefit if they were just doing it once a day?
Yeah, I sometimes will say it's like treading water. Like you can tread water, right? Or you can swim. And sometimes for me, I don't get the second one in. But sometimes I supplement it with something else, something that actually uses the same neural networks, like yoga, like running, like exercise, or some form of connecting with an objective and then not losing your focus. So there's so many different ways to meditate and use mindfulness. And I think maybe it's helpful to kind of get into that a little bit.
Yes. Okay. And that's where I want to go next. But my last question before we go there, is there a particular minimum length of time?
Yes, there's science out there to support that you can get the same neural growth with 10 minutes twice a day, right? But there's also, I don't know if it was published, but I read something somewhere, I think it was out of Stanford, so you can't, I don't think I have this support material, that has it down to 6. Mm. But I can't stand saying stuff like that, because for me, and someone who is a leader in the fitness and the exercise industry, I need to know, you know, some type of not wanting to do it to understand why I'm doing it. It's like when I go out for a run, I can talk myself out of it at the first 13 minutes. I can say, I got to go back. I got to do the laundry. I got to do X. I got to do this, Y, and Z. But if I can get past that 13 minutes, for me, I can run for hours. Mm. And when I'm meditating, I need to know that I'm going to go through a little bit of discomfort because that's part of life. And if I can get through that first five, 6 minutes of meditation and kind of over that hump and into a rhythm, then I know that not only am I getting the benefit, but then you start to feel some of that relaxation.
Okay. Well, you have been very cooperative and you did an exceptional job in my rapid fire questions. Thank you for that. So which of those areas do you think is most useful for us to explore so that we can start to adopt this into our, you know, twice a day, daily lives?
Well, it's funny. There was every single one I wanted. I was really biting my tongue, and then I obviously gave up towards the end. And I think what's hard is that people don't have the time, right? That's the number one thing that anyone says to me. I don't have the time. And so usually what I'll say is, okay, well, do you have 10 minutes? Nope. You have 10 minutes to devote to yourself. All right. And then I have to take it back a step further. It's like, well, then why do you want to meditate?
Right. Yeah.
Because the why is the reason that you'll sit on the days you don't feel like sitting. Mm. If you can figure out why you want to meditate, do you want more, you know, do you want to improve your focus? Do you want a better memory? Do you want to enhance your life in a more balanced and loving way? Then your why, you know, write that down. And I would also suggest don't write down the first things that comes to mind, because they're usually, I don't trust them. It's usually just something that I was conditioned to say.
Interesting.
Or what I should think. So I write down why I want to meditate, and then I say, okay, well, then let's just get some consistency going. Let's get some consistency going. Try to do it just today, twice a day, 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the afternoon. And in fact, I'd rather you do 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the afternoon, because the brain wants to build on that stability of knowing that you're going to be doing something repeated. And it doesn't really like when you know, when it's not used to something. So it's going to try to talk you out of it anyway, particularly if it's a new healthy habit that doesn't feel like you're doing anything. So if you sit for just 5 minutes, get used to it in the morning, and then again later on, it's better than sitting for 10 minutes at once.
Okay. So I want to pretend for a moment selfishly that this is just me calling you for a consultation, and I'm begging you, Andy, to help me master this, because I've tried and here's how it went. Okay. I read a bunch of articles. I picked up a couple of books. I've talked to plenty of friends, and I just decided to sit calmly and try for 5 minutes to just sit there calmly. And very quickly, I found myself on my phone searching through the podcast for a guided meditation. And I'm like, oh, cool. This is great. And then I started listening to a guided meditation, and I was kind of like weirded out by the guy's voice. And he started talking about being like enveloped in an egg. I'm like, why am I in an egg? Like, right, I can't even think right now while I'm in, why am I in an egg? You know?
Right.
And so that was the extent of it. Then I convinced myself, you know what? When I'm running, I'm just thinking and letting my mind go where it might go. So does that count as meditation? And I assume it doesn't. Coach me through this.
There's so much in there. Part of it is like guided meditations can be great if you but you got to find the one that you like. And that could take some time. The fact is that we're constantly distracted by our mobile phones, by technology, that our brains actually in the prefrontal cortex needs that stimulation. And maybe you're that type of person, which I am sometimes, that if I'm too tired, I need someone to tell me exactly what to do. Mm. If you can tell me exactly what to do every time I get distracted, then that's great. Now, there are some, unfortunately, people out there that do other types of meditations that I don't teach, but they find great value in them. So I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying I'm not a very visual person, so I don't take people on sightseeing tours to the mountains or anything, because I want them to be able to deal with right now in this moment. And usually whenever you take someone on a sightseeing tour, they're longing to be someplace that they don't want to be, which is 90% of what we already do during the day. I don't need help with that.
Yeah.
What I need help is to focus on one particular thing and then notice when I'm distracted. And so,
But talk to me. So tomorrow, I want you to coach me through, like, tonight. I want to meditate for my first 5 minutes. Tell me what to do.
All right. So you're going to set a timer on your phone, right? Okay. One that not a jarring, just get like a bell or something gentle. Right? You're going to sit and then you're going to notice that you're breathing. You're kind of going to become a detective kind of and say, oh, wow, I've never noticed that I'm breathing right now.
I need more specifics. Where am I sitting? What's in the room? Are my eyes open, closed?
This is great. So you're going to sit wherever you want. Mm. You're going to get as comfortable as you want. A lot of the times people say you have to sit in that cross-legged position, and I understand why. You know, they want you to be proud of yourself and hold yourself high and get the oxygen flowing to the brain. But the reality is, yogis sat on the floor cross-legged because they didn't have comfortable couches. They didn't have comfortable chairs.
Okay, so, I love it.
So we sit in a chair, and if we're cold, guess what we do? We put a blanket over us. If we have an itch, we scratch it. And we can close our eyes, or I suggest in the beginning eliminating as many obstacles as possible. So while you don't have to close your eyes and meditate, I suggest that you do.
Okay.
So you close your eyes. You're as comfortable as can be. You're sitting in a chair. Your head's kind of up if you can, not reclined back, is really what I would say. But the bottom line is, if you're not comfortable, you're not going to meditate tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be good for me if you only do it once. So you're as comfortable as you can. You start to become aware that you're breathing by paying attention to, I'm going to make up a word right now, right? You're going to pay attention to this nonsense word called so hum. So it's S-O-H-U-M. And this is why. So your brain wants to know that you're doing it right. And if you're thinking of this nonsense word, then you're doing it right.
Hmm. Is that something you learned, that word, so hum, or did you just make that up?
Yeah, so hum, it actually translates to I am. But what I'm trying to do is not get you to identify with the I am, because what will happen is you'll say, I am what?
True.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm trying to make it as a pattern interrupt almost,
okay.
Right? So you're sitting and you're just gently reciting as relaxed as possible. You're noticing your breathing, and then all of a sudden you just start thinking of this mantra, so hum, right? This is going to stabilize your focus. So this gathers all your attention and you're focused on so hum. At some point you'll be sitting there, and it doesn't matter. It can be so hum, so hum, so hum, or as easy as so hum.
Am I saying this out loud or am I thinking this?
No,
way?
You're just thinking it silently in your mind.
Okay.
And you, as you think this mantra, right, there will come a point where your mind will get distracted. Mm-hmm. It has no choice. Your mind's job is to produce thoughts. So you're focused on the mantra, and then you're distracted.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you notice you're distracted, right, and it's usually a sound outside in the environment, some thought or story you're telling in your mind, mm-hmm. or some physical sensation that says that this is not for me, I want to get up and move away. As soon as any of those three things happen, your mind has been distracted. And as soon as you become aware of that, now that's the magic moment of mindfulness, because now you have a choice. Now you have a choice to either stay distracted and numb out to the experience for the 5 minutes, or come back to the mantra, come back to whatever your focus is. And so the process never changes. I mean, every meditation kind of follows that rule. I would say 90% of meditation, you have a focus, your mind wanders, you become aware that your mind wanders, you bring it back to the focus. And so that's why if you're able to do that until the timer goes off, and then you don't think about all the, you know, the stories that you told in your head, what you're actually doing is you're building space between what Viktor Frankl would call the stimulus and the response. Mm. And so we have all the stimulus throughout the day, and we're constantly bombarded with stimulus. And what we want to do is just make a little space before we react to everything.
Okay.
Right?
So just to back up, because I know my lifers love the step-by-step tutorial. We're going to set a timer on our phone. We're also going to turn our phone to airplane mode, right? So that we're not
so smart,
not hearing any sounds, and we're not expecting any, because we do know that the brain, when if it knows that there could, it could receive a message to our phone, we're automatically distracted. So we're going to put it on airplane mode. We're going to set our timer for 5 minutes. We will sit comfortably with eyes closed. We'll use the word or term so hum, and use that term each time we recognize that we've kind of drifted drifted off and started to daydream. Is that accurate? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
And then, so my 5 minutes is up. How do I know when I'm getting better at this?
Over time, you'll start to see that the stories that you tell in your mind are just stories. And if you can start to see them as stories in your meditation, you naturally start to see them in the rest of your day.
I don't understand that.
Okay. So in your mind, we have facts and we have stories.
Okay.
We usually mistake the facts, for the story. So we're constantly telling these stories because the mind likes to, keep us alive and it wants to tell these stories. And so, I'll give you an example. In one of my meditations, I could be thinking of my boss, who is usually so nice to me. But lately, she's not talking to me. And she's sending me emails at 3 in the morning and texting me at 5. And who is she to think that I'm going to be up at that hour? And why should I answer these emails? And I've done everything. Doesn't she know how hard I work, right? And so that's the story, right? That's in one of my meditations.
Okay.
And then I come back to the soham, and then I go into the office, and then the reality is my boss only trusts me. Her kid is sick in the hospital. She emailed me and texted me early in the morning because she realized she wasn't going to be in the next day and only trusted me to do that. That's the facts. But we constantly can't strip away the story because we're hooked on it.
So how does meditation help me to make sense of a story that's very fictional?
You become aware by repeating this word. So every time you start to tell a story, it'll start off like, Frank is a real jerk. Soham. He really went out of his way to throw me under the bus. Soham. I bet he planned it. Soham.
So it's almost like a word that says, wipe it away, strip it away. I like it. It brings you back.
Yeah, it trains your mind to focus on the present moment. And it also tells you when you start to drift into these stories that we weave. And pretty soon it's, you go to say, I'm creating this story about Frank.
So if I'm going to do 5 minutes in the morning, my morning routine now is I wake up, I listen to a podcast, usually some type of personal development. I go and I exercise. I come home. I spend 15 to 20 minutes creating. First, I will often pray in my car because it's silent there. And then I will create my to-do list for the day, also in the solitude and quietness of my car. And then I go inside and join my family. And so I start helping with my husband to get the kids breakfast and lunch ready and interact with family before they're off to school. But based on what I've just described to you, should I meditate mid-morning? Should I meditate before I start listening to a podcast?
Here's what I do, and then I say that's not a perfect time to meditate. It's finding your own time where you're not going to feel the pull of a million different things. And for me, once my kids wake up, my day is shot. So I need to become that morning person. So I get up early, and I backed it up. I started with 5 minutes, and now I do it up to 20 to 30 minutes in the morning. And what I'll do is I'll just get up super early and do that, because that's the time where most of my lists are coming in. Most of the stuff I need to do, most of the stories start to generate is right when I wake up, of all the reasons why I can't be sitting. And it's a great way to strengthen that muscle early in the morning. And then that way I'm ready to use, that stillness that I'm bringing back into the day a little bit with me until I run out of gas at 2, 3, and then I do it again.
Ah.
So it's finding the times in the day where you're starting to run out of gas. You start to notice if you're, a little bit aggravated, irritated, angry, lonely, tired, what all of those fun little things that you start to see, I could probably choose to be more productive if I sit.
Very good. Very good. Cause I was just thinking to myself, okay, I will meditate in the morning. And then I'll try meditating again in the evening just before I go to bed. But it seems as though for me, I would probably benefit from doing it around 4 o'clock, which is when most people feel that mid-afternoon, I need to eat because I'm tired. You kind of need to get your second wind. And if I'm hearing you correctly, you benefit more when you can use that recharge while you're awake.
Yeah, absolutely. And people say, can I do it before bed? Yeah, but you can also run into two issues. You could all of a sudden get more energy and then not be able to fall asleep, or you could start to tackle a project at 11 o'clock at night and all of a sudden run out of gas at 2 and be like, oh my gosh, now my next day is kind of off its pattern. So I always use it as a way to recharge. And it's usually when I'm struggling with some communication. I'll notice I don't want to hurt this person's feelings, but I'm speaking from the heart and this person wronged me in this way or the other. And should I write this note? And then I was like, you know what? You should do step away and meditate.
So where does someone do this who works in a busy office environment?
It's so funny. And this is coming, remember, from a guy that didn't even want anyone to know I was meditating when I first started. So I've come a long way. I used to go out to my car, put my earbuds in, and put sunglasses on. And whether I was listening to a guided meditation or not, I would sit there and just feel more comfortable in a parking lot. Because in my office, although I did have an office with a door, but if people saw me in there, or my, you know, I didn't remember to turn my monitor off or put on airplane mode, there's just too many distractions. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where I got comfortable. Like that real authentic you starts to come back, I say. The one that's always afraid to make mistakes, is particularly in an office environment, starts to shed away, and then you stop caring, and you know it's more about why you're trying to do it. And then I can meditate in an office. But I say you can pretty much meditate anywhere, because you need to hear a noise in the environment to know that you're not focused on the mantra. You need to know that you're thinking, to know. It's training the mind to come back to whatever's going on in that moment. If someone's knocking at the door, that's a little jarring. So I say try to isolate the in the beginning, you're going to want to isolate your surroundings.
So are you suggesting that I not do it in pure silence with noise-canceling headphones, that I, you know, you try to do it where there might be ambient sound?
I try to do it like that, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't try exactly that when I first started meditating, because I did. I wanted to control, and I also live in a house with a kid that loves to bounce a basketball, so I don't want to hear that. So, yeah, I will use that, or I'll use some calming white noise, or, you know, bowls or bells or something that sounds nice, just anything that doesn't have lyrics,
okay.
Nothing that will engage your mind into the story.
Do you have a recommendation of a type of track, or maybe a CD or an artist?
If you go on iTunes, has a one called Tibetan Bowls. And if you just type that in, it's Tibetan Bowls for Guided Meditations.
Cool.
That's a great one, because you don't know when they're coming. And they're exact, you know what? They're 20 and 30 minutes.
Oh.
So if you just set it and forget it, kind of.
Okay. I'm going to do this. I have one last question. I know we're running up on the end of our time together, but that is, actually I have two questions. I lied. First
sure.
is, am I doing it wrong if I feel like I'm going to fall asleep?
In the beginning, no, because here's the deal. We've gone so much of our lives going, right? And now I'm telling you, okay, I want you to sit. I want you to close your eyes and not do anything. Now, your body's going to do two things. It's going to ramp up your thoughts one way, or it's going to shut you down, because you're just physically accumulated so much stress throughout our lives and our days that the body just will naturally shut down. So if you're doing this every day, twice a day, you will definitely fall asleep for that first month, and that's okay. And again, remember, this is from the guy who was only doing it because he was a horrible sleeper. So I was like, that's got to be bull. I don't buy that. And now I'm nervous that I'm not going to be falling asleep if I'm falling asleep during my meditations. But your body has a way of kind of rebalancing itself, reconnecting the mind with the body. And it's an excellent barometer to know later on, like months down the road, if you're still with this, that if you're falling asleep, it's most likely because you either had a hard workout or a very stressful day, and you start to use your body more as a barometer, a way to feel your way through the present moment in the day, as opposed to just reacting to it and crashing at the end of the day.
My last question is one of pure resistance. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to call it like it is, but is there science to support that there's more benefit to actually doing this kind of concentration work with your eyes closed, which we're calling meditation, versus sitting quietly for 10 minutes with your eyes closed in prayer? Like, is there science to tell me that one is better for my brain than the other?
Not that I know of. And you know what, to be honest, if you look at both of them, right? A lot of the times you'll say that meditation for me, and as a Catholic, this has been huge for me, because I had a tough time in just my own Catholic upbringing, someone that went to church all the time, and then I stopped doing it because we were interviewing a lot during their infamous sex scandal in the late 90s. So I was interviewing a lot of these people. So I distanced myself. And when I started meditating, I actually have a much stronger faith now and I've come back, because they're really two separate things. When I'm meditating, I'm really, listening to God in a way.
Okay.
I'm listening. Whereas when I'm praying, I'm talking, or I want something, and I'm holding my mind at that level of the intellect. So there's like almost like a dialogue, right? Both of them have a similar output. I can't deny the fact that how good I feel when I'm not meditating. Well, I mean, when I'm done meditating, I feel great. And I also can't deny the fact when I leave church, how good I feel. Maybe until I get into the parking lot and somebody cuts you off. But
No, that's really beautiful. It's really beautiful. And I thank you for that. That's really insightful. That helps a lot. This has been incredibly insightful. I think we need to do a challenge. As people who are listening to the Chalene Show, I think we need to do a challenge. So I'm going to post something up on my Facebook wall. You'll have to scroll through it to look on my Facebook wall, find that post about our meditation challenge, and let me know that you've listened to this episode and that we're going to do it. We're going to do it twice a day.
Chalene, I am in.
Okay.
I'm in.
Awesome. Well, Andy, I promise you, I'm going to do it twice a day. I am a woman of her word, 5 minutes each, and I will report back to you. In fact, let's journal about it. Okay. Everybody just, write down your thoughts each day, how well you thought you did, what it made you feel, and we'll go 30 days and see how it goes. Andy, where can people learn more about your services and what it is you offer?
Well, you can definitely find me online at thebostonbuddha.com. I'm also the Boston Buddha on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. But one more thing, can I just add in? While you're journaling, I want people to be writing down, not necessarily, I don't care what happens in the meditation. I want to know also what's happening. Is your day a little bit easier? Are things going a little bit easier? And are you able to let some of the stress roll off your back a little bit more outside of meditation? I think it's far more valuable.
I love that. Okay, that sounds great. So in general, we want to give ourselves kind of a rating on the day. Like, was it a lighter day? Were we able to handle setbacks and arguments or distractions a little easier, and just kind of figure out as we go through this challenge how our meditation is making that easier to deal with? This has been fantastic. Thank you so much, Andy, for your wisdom. Thank you for guiding me through this. Thank you for coaching me, and thank you for challenging me to do this.
You are the best, Chalene. I totally enjoyed this call. I hope to do it again.
Awesome. Well, that was super helpful. I don't know about you, but that answered a lot of questions for me. It helped me to lower my resistance, and I'm going to do this. If you're with me, I'm going to ask you to go to my Facebook wall. Now, depending upon when you're listening to this episode, you may have to scroll through, find the post on meditation, and commit to doing 30 days of this. Twice a day, 5 minutes. Now, here's what you need to understand. If you hit your mark 80% of the days, you win. That means mission accomplished, you succeeded. You don't have to do 30 days twice a day, 5 minutes each time. I just need you to hit the mark 80% of the time. Now, I downloaded the app called Relax Melodies, and it has a little timer along with like a very soft bell that increases with intensity as the alarm continues. And I'm going to start my challenge tonight. I hope you'll join me. If you will, please jump on my Facebook wall. Let me know that you are down for the challenge, and we can keep going back to that particular post and to do exactly what Andy suggested, which was to just kind of keep track of how we are able to deal with life's stresses. Like, is it helping you overall in your general ability to deal with life's up and downs, like to be more calm? Like, my why is my family. I have a difficult time when my focus is interrupted. So what I'm going to do is meditate. My goal is to meditate every day, like around 4 or 5 o'clock. I think that's really going to help my family. They are going to be my why. I'm excited to try this, and I'm really excited to have you join me. This episode has been sponsored by CourageousConfidenceClub.com. It's a club that I've created specifically to help people who struggle with confidence and insecurities and social settings and just standing up for themselves, being yourself and feeling good about it. All of us could benefit from having more confidence. I'd love for you to just experience a taste of it. So please be my guest by going to ShaleneJohnson.com/confidence tips. Now, if you don't feel like writing that web address down or remembering to go there later, all you have to do is, while you're listening from your phone, send me a text message. The number is 949-565-4337. And that is for U.S. residents. Then just send me the word confidence and I will send you access to this video. This video will help you to eliminate self-doubt and just feel more confident in any situation, whether it's work or personal or just your social interactions. Every one of us can benefit from having more confidence. There you'll submit your email address and I will immediately send to your inbox my latest training video where I teach you step by step how to feel more confident in just about any social setting. I think you'll find this incredibly useful, whether it's business or personal or just in your everyday interactions. Confidence is something that makes life easier. It helps you to raise more confident, self-efficient children. It allows us to speak our mind, to stand up for ourselves, to do the things that otherwise we are paralyzed by fear, and we just allow our own thoughts to stop us. By learning how to overcome self-doubt and fear of success, you can become that confident person that others are attracted to. The person you want to be, the person you deserve to be, the person you know is inside of you. So thank you for checking out my free tools by going to shaleenjohnson.com/confidence tips.